You know, and we've been working with you, brethren, for a little over a year and a half, and this is the smallest the attendance I've seen. But Jesus did say that he would be with those wherever two or three gathered in his name, in his authority. So we're thankful that Jesus is with us this morning. If it's just one plus God, we outnumber everybody. So certainly we have a lot to be thankful for. It has been said that a wise child of God informed a preacher, "When you finish your sermons, be sure the hearers say, 'What a Savior,' and not 'What a preacher.'" This morning, if the Lord wills, we'll discuss some biblical things related to what a Savior we have. When we consider what a Savior Jesus is, we should consider what a life He led, leaving us an example. The Bible says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." Reads 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. "If ye know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him." 1 John 2, 29. Read also John 3, verses 5 and 6. "Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, that his sin is not allowed, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Reads 1 John 3, verses 6 through 10. Truly, what a life he led. When we consider what a Savior Jesus is, we should consider what a sacrifice he endured. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Philippians 2, verses 5 through 7. "God prophesied of our Savior, saying, 'Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has set judgment in the earth. And the isle shall wait for his law." Reads Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 4. Jesus was lowly and yet a king. When much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him. and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Sion. Behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." Reads John 12, verses 12 through 15. The Bible says that Jesus came to die. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." Hebrews 10 and verse 5. "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, "I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "The voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." John 12, 27 through 32. Truly, what a sacrifice he endured for us, to the point that Jesus fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Reads Matthew 26 and verse 39. When we consider what a Savior Jesus is, we should consider what forgiveness he demonstrated. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Read Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Reads Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Reads 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Hebrews 8 and verse 12. Truly, what forgiveness he demonstrated. When we consider what a Savior Jesus is, we should definitely consider what reconciliation he allowed. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God by in him." Read 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, that is, between Jew and Gentile, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that is, he abolished the Old Testament, for to make in himself a twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God, in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were far off, and to them that were nigh. Ephesians 2, verses 13 through 17. In meekness or humility, instructing or correcting those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 25. Truly, what reconciliation he allowed. When we consider what a Savior Jesus is, we should consider what a word he shared. The Bible says that the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Reads John 1, verses 1 through 4. Through His Word we have all received His fullness. Scripture tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, John 1:14. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life, John 6 and verse 63. The Word mirrors its giver, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do, reads Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. His Word is the gospel of our salvation. When we trust Jesus, after that you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, that's in Christ, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Truly, what a word he shared. If followed, it brings life, inheritance, and salvation. When we consider what a Savior Jesus is, we should consider what salvation he gave. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them, Hebrews 7 and verse 25. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, that is your vain manner of living, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, 1 Peter 1, 18 through 20. In whom, that's in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, Ephesians 1 and verse 7. It is because of his life, his sacrifice, his forgiveness, his reconciliation, and his word that salvation is possible. It is through His Word that, if followed, we have access to the salvation He gave. Over and over again, Scripture tells us that souls heard the Word, Romans 10, 14, and 17. And when they believed that Word they heard, they confirmed that belief by repentance, Luke 13, 3. Or changing to live according to God's Word, Matthew 21, 28 through 30. By confessing their sins to God, 1 John 1, 9. And confessing Christ as the Son of God, like the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8, verse 37. And by being baptized into Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27, where all spiritual blessings exist, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. The early disciples didn't make excuses for obedience, as they knew that baptism saves, 1 Peter 3, 21, just like the blood of Christ saves, Ephesians 1 and verse 7. They knew that baptism provides remission of sins, Acts 2, 38, just like the blood of Christ, Matthew 26, 28. And they knew that baptism washes away sins, Acts 22, 16, just like the blood of Christ, Revelation 1, 5. Truly what salvation He gave. When we consider what a Savior Jesus is, we should consider what a hope He provides. Faith and hope are closely related. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11, 1. To have hope is to have strong confidence and expectations to receive the promises made. The Bible says those who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, 1 Peter 1:21. The Bible says we are saved by hope, Romans 8, verse 24. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, Colossians 1 and verse 23. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. In Romans 15, 13, we read, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began," Titus 1 and verse 2. Being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Titus 3 and verse 7. Lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Reads Hebrews chapter 6, verses 16 through 20. What would life be without hope? We need to continually put our trust in God, look forward to heaven itself. Truly what hope He provides. In closing, what a Savior. He left all. He lived for all. He gave all for all. The Bible mentions those who had left their first love, Revelations 2 and verse 4. I wonder if it was because they had forgotten what a Savior we have. If you have a spiritual need, the Lord invites you and we wait to assist you. Please come now while together we stand and sing.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard Thee calling, come, follow me. And we see where the footprints falling lead us to Thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We
daily through the temple, holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly, serving the steps of